Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday.
This is a really good football team. A big challenge on offense. You know, our defense going against their offense. They got a tremendous system. Sean McVay does a tremendous job. We've gone up against each other before when he was in Washington. So a lot of respect for what they do, how they do it, and their personnel from top down, from left to right. They do a great job. And they've got a great offensive line, great set of tight ends and receivers that all play well. So it'll be a big challenge for us.
It's like super early. You know, people kind of like ring the bell when it's super early. I have another conversation with you game 16, game 17. Right now it's early. You know, I kind of like don't really get caught up too much in that type of stuff. Things can change fast. And just try to be consistent day in and day out and worry about the task at hand, and that's getting better in practice, executing at a high level.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We're getting there, closer and closer. I said earlier, the week's dragging. Whew. Football Friday, M&T Bank Bills fan Football Friday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Jeremy's off. He's back Monday. Nate had to step out for a second. He'll be back shortly. So let's talk a little bit more about the Bills-Rams game Sunday. Let's talk about some of the storylines for a matchup of two unbeaten teams, by the way. It is one of the better games on the schedule. Jeez, I always jump ahead of myself. Hi, how you doing? Glad to have you with us. Phone lines are open, 803-0550. Please join us. You can let us know your prediction for Sunday. How do you think the Bills game is going to play out? I think the Bills are going to win. I'm a little more nervous about this game, certainly more nervous than the Jets game. More nervous than the Dolphins game. I think the injuries, of course, will have you wondering. You hope, cross your fingers, at least maybe one of Edmonds or and Milano or two can play. If not, that's a big problem for stopping Higbee, their tight end, and their run game, but I'm getting into storylines. But I think the Bills will win. I think it will be a pretty high-scoring game. I would take the over, which I think is around 45-ish. I could see like a close game, like a 27-24 Bills win. I will take a Bills win in this one. So join us. Give us your prediction. Give us your opinion on how it's going to play out. You got a question about the matchup? Wonderful. Of course, no fans still on Sunday. The weather, a couple things. One, sunny, warm. We might reach 82, according to the high. But it could be kind of windy at the stadium on Sunday. They're talking 15 to 25 mile an hour winds. And during the game, between like 11 and 4, actually, we could have gusts like 30, 35 miles an hour. So it could be a little bit windy on Sunday. All right, now you're set up. There you go, 803-0550. It is, in terms of storylines, from a general standpoint, the bigger storyline is a battle of 2-0 teams and a battle of two really good offenses. You heard Sean McDermott a moment ago in the open. The story for both of these teams so far, early in the season, has been their offense. We know what it's been for the Bills. It's not only their offense winning games, it's the passing game as the identity of that offense that's winning games through the first two contests with Josh Allen and company. The Bills are third in total yards on offense. And they are sixth in points. The Rams are fifth in total yards. They are eighth in points. The Bills have 58 points. The Rams have 57. So they have both been doing it on the offensive side of the ball. I think one of the other interesting storylines, again, not front burner, but when we looked at the schedule and you knew the crossover, the crossover division was going to be the NFC West, most people thought, and it seems to be playing out that way, that the NFC West from top to bottom is the best division in the league. So far, so good for them. They're 7-1. The only loss is San Francisco losing to Arizona. They're off to a 7-1 start, and this is the first of those four games against what might be the best overall division in the league this year. I mentioned weather. We'll see how much that might be a factor. You know, not a big problem for Josh Allen with the strong arm. Could be an issue with the kicking game, the punting, the kicking. And big pass plays, too. I think when you talk about the storylines and you'd think that the offenses would have the better of things, scoring's up around the league also. Penalties are down. Offensive holdings are down. Offenses are taking advantage of that. Scoring is up. You're talking about the two best teams through 2 weeks in throws of 20-plus yards downfield. The Bills lead the league with 12, and the Rams are second with 11. Now, let's break it down. Let's get into the Bills' offense. And I think the biggest question here, you know, can the Bills keep it up in terms of their passing offense? Got to be thrilled with what you've seen through the first two games from Josh Allen. The Rams, by the way, their pass defense looks to be, overall their defense, and I think their pass defense, a more formidable challenge, it's not a stretch to say that, than the Jets and the Miami Dolphins. The Rams, through their first two games, they have faced Dak Prescott in the opener, and then Carson Wentz. Through the first two games, they've held those two quarterbacks to a 73 quarterback rating. If you care at all about rating, you might not. It is the second lowest for any defense so far this season. The bigger note might be this. They've given up just one passing touchdown. The Bills' offense has been very successful through the air. I mean, Josh ran the ball nicely, and of course, in the opener against the Jets, but they've made their plays through the air. One passing touchdown given up by the Rams' defense in the first two games, and it came to a running back. It was Ezekiel Elliott in the opener with Dallas. So they have yet to give up a passing touchdown to a wide receiver or a tight end. And the banner matchup, of course, is Stephon Diggs against Jalen Ramsey. I mentioned this earlier. If we could somehow swing it, Fox, if you're listening, on my screen, I need the main game feed, of course, but you don't even have to split screen it. Maybe in like a corner of the screen, could you give me a tiny little box and insert a box with a Diggs-Ramsey cam? Because if they're going to be matched up more often than not, that is fabulous. Just to watch Ramsey, one of the top corners in the game, Diggs, an elite route runner who's so good at getting separation and all the things he's going to try to get himself free from Jalen Ramsey. I think, you know, if you actually, you'd almost say, like, if I was going to the game, you're like, hey, I'm just going to watch those two guys. But that's a great matchup. And to see if Diggs is neutralized at all, or if he can have a big game, again, assuming he's going to see more often than not Jalen Ramsey. If that happens, here's a nice thing about the Bills. If you neutralize Diggs, if you have a cornerback who is good enough to say, you're going to go play him, you're going to go wherever he goes, and if you can neutralize him, well, you still have John Brown, you still have hopefully Cole Beasley. Now, Beasley practiced full yesterday, but he's nicked up a little bit. He's got tape on one of his hands. He's got a thumb issue. Hopefully he can still catch the football and play effectively. Because even if they do, quote, take Diggs out of the game, you still have two really good weapons, John Brown and Cole Beasley, against, I guess, Troy Hill and Darius Williams in terms of their cornerbacks, the next two guys on their list. So Diggs against Ramsey, no question about it, huge. But the good news is you still have other guys that you can go to. We see an emerging Gabriel Davis. One of the nice stories about the first two games, one of the big stories is the depth of the Bills' receiving corps. It is in stark contrast to what it was in Josh Allen's rookie season a couple years ago. Where they are now, where they were then, it's amazing. Diggs, Brown, Beasley, Gabriel Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, Gabriel Davis, whatever order you want to go through. Four receivers, five receivers that Brian Daboll can put out there with good confidence. I know Davis is still a rookie. He's only had a couple games, but he had such a promising camp. He's really showed the ability, a solid pair of hands, the ability to make. That was a fabulous touchdown catch. The route, the adjustment when he saw Josh scrambling, and then being able to hang on to that ball. There are five wide receivers that Brian Daboll feels good about putting out on the field. So the depth of that, even if they're able to neutralize Diggs, the depth of the Bills receiver group is a huge advantage, I think, for this team going forward. There's no question there are two key players to watch when you're facing LA. Not to say their defense comes down to two guys, but there are two big names that jump off the list. One's Ramsey. All right, so we addressed how he plays, if he plays on Diggs and what happens there. And the other one's Aaron Donald. The guy's a beast. I mean, he's just phenomenal. And no matter what you try, you know, you can't single block him. And sometimes, sadly, you can't double team him either. And listening to the Bills coaches talk about everything he does, and hey, he can play power, he can play with leverage, he's got the swim move, he can beat you in so many different ways. He is that, We talk about it a lot as an edge rusher, right? A guy who is a destructive force. You think about a guy who the offensive coordinator the week of that game is losing sleep because he's got to figure out how I keep that guy up front from blowing up my game plan, blowing up my line, getting to my quarterback, and really single-handedly screwing up my offense. Like Bruce Smith comes to mind, sure, right, Bills fans? Bruce Smith was a guy who you'd know, offensive coordinators, got to make sure you're going to double-team him, you're going to chip, you're going to do everything you can, tell the quarterback, get that ball out fast. I mean, you're going to do everything you can to make sure Aaron Donald does not single-handedly destroy the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. That's a huge matchup for Mitch Morse and whoever is helping him to make sure that he doesn't just blow everything up. He is the premier defensive player in the National Football League. He's got 73 sacks in the last 6 years. Now, he didn't have any against the Eagles. So I would assume Josh is going to try and get the ball out as soon as possible, not spend too much time back there in the pocket. I don't think the line, which did a really nice job of pass protection in Miami and gave him a clean pocket for a few seconds, I don't think he's going to have that luxury on Sunday against the Rams. We shall see. Other storylines on offense, you know, there is one to watch. I talked about the depth of the receiver corps, which is really good, really important, because I'm not sure what happens at tight end in this game. Dawson Knox hasn't practiced. He's been in the concussion protocol. We'll see if there's an update when Sean McDermott joins us in 15-ish minutes. If he can't play, it's a big question of what production you're getting out of your tight end position. He's clearly the number one guy. I know he's still having a little bit of an issue with his hands, had the fumble last week, had another catch he didn't hold on to, but he's clearly the number one passing weapon ahead of Tyler Kroft and, you know, Reggie Gilliam, whatever else they might try at that position. So if he doesn't play, I mean, that's a loss. You still have options with wide receivers, but I'm not sure you'd be getting much of anything in terms of production in the passing game. I mean, Tyler Kroft has largely been a disappointment because of injury in his Bills career. He only got a handful of snaps the other day in Miami. We'll see if he could step up and play some kind of a role in the passing game if Knox doesn't play on Sunday. Zach Moss, too. Not sure if he's going to play Sunday. Now, we haven't seen some real big runs from Moss yet. The running backs were better in Miami. I thought Singletary had the better game than Moss. But, you know, if he doesn't play, that means you take him out, you take a physical element out of your backfield. My guess is now you're going to see T.J. Yeldon. I don't know how much, if it's a 50-50 workload, how many snaps Yeldon will get, but he would be out there with Devin Singletary in that offense. And how many points will it take to win? Is it going to be a shootout or not? You know, maybe this is one of those games where, you know, the Bills offense has to get to 28. Maybe the winning team on Sunday's got to get over 30. It remains to be seen. Well, now we'll flip it around. Let's talk storylines on the Bills defense. There's no question. The top storyline is still injury related. I'll get to Levi Wallace in a moment because I'm sure a lot of you are thinking about Levi Wallace since he had a rough day in Miami last Sunday. But it's the injuries. It's Edmonds and Milano. I mean, this defense is, dare I say, in this matchup, they're in trouble if those guys both can't play Sunday. I mean, there were times Miami exposed the middle of the field. Because A.J. Klein and Tyrell Dotson, they're not Edmonds and Milano, okay? They're not playing at that level or have that ability or have that athletic skill set or a combination thereof. You're talking about two guys who have really turned around the linebacking core here and are on the field for every snap, like 100% of the snaps. No matter what you ask them to do, no matter what their responsibility is, they can do it. If it's helping out in run defense, great. If it's, you know, covering an area in the zone, drop it, great. If it's lining up man-to-man on somebody, wonderful. If it's blitzing, trying to get the quarterback, they do it all. You take one of those guys out, it's problematic. You take two of them out against a really good offense, it's big, big trouble. So hopefully one, if not both, are back. They've been practicing on a limited basis this week. Hopefully they get both back because if they're gone, that's tough. I think it opens up issues in terms of the run defense against a team that does like to run the ball. But it also, you know, you worry about if Gesicki ate him up last week, what could Higbee do this week? He had 3 touchdown catches the other day against the Eagles, had a really big year last year, a nice breakthrough year for him. So that's first and foremost. I think the storyline is who's playing at linebacker for the Buffalo Bills. And I think then you get to Levi Wallace. And can he bounce back from a bad day in Miami? And it remains to be seen. You know, Josh Norman is still out. He's not even eligible to come off
injured reserve until after this game, and then we'll see from there. But they're going to need Levi Wallace to step it up. I mean, Saran Neal got some reps last week against Miami. I'm not sure what they would do if Levi is struggling on Sunday. It's a good receiver core for the Rams. You know, they don't have Stephon Diggs, but we know Robert Woods. He's a good player. I mean, you might not quake in your boots, but Robert Woods is a very reliable, solid football player. You know, I mean, A, he can get open. You know he can make some circus catches. You know he's got a fantastic pair of hands. He can make contested catches. He's a big part of their offense. He's very effective in their wide receiver screen game. So he's a bundle. He and Cooper Kupp are two tough matchups for the Bills' defense in this game. And then you bring in Van Jefferson, a promising rookie. You have Josh Reynolds. If we're going to talk about the Bills' depth of wide receivers, there are some similarities, I think, when you look at both of these offenses, how they're constructed, where their strengths are, and certainly the deep receiver group for both is an advantage for both of these squads. So how Levi Wallace does, I'm not sure that they would say, hey, Trey, we're going to have you shadow Robert Woods. I don't know if they need to. But what happens with Levi Wallace, whoever he's matched up with, that's certainly going to be a big question in this game. And the run defense. You know, the Rams like to run the ball. It isn't like the Raiders, right, where, you know, if you were watching the game Monday night, the Raiders-Saints game, maybe you watched it to do a little scouting because you knew the Bills are going to play the Raiders in a couple weeks. And they talk about how John Gruden is a big bell cow back guy. He's old school football. He loves getting that one running back who you can feed the ball to, and if he gets 20, 30 carries, whatever, great. Josh Jacobs. The Rams don't do that. They don't have one guy they lean on. Now, they might do more of that Sunday because of injuries. Two of their three guys in this rotation are injured. It looks like Malcolm Brown is going to play. He had a broken pinky finger. If there's one guy who might not, it's Cam Akers. He has rib issues. But Akers, Brown, and Henderson, they use all three guys. Henderson had a big game against the Eagles. So the run defense for the Bills hasn't been a problem through the first two games. I thought Myles Gaskin made some nice plays the other day, the Dolphins running back, but it really wasn't an issue in the first two games. I'd be, again, circling back to Milano and Edmonds, but you got to respect the ability for the Rams to run the football. They do like to do that. They run by percentage more than any other team in the NFL. I think it's 53%. Maurice Jones-Drew was on yesterday on One Bills Live, the former running back. He does some Rams analysis. He works for NFL Network. I think he said they've run like 79 times in the first two games. So they like to feed the ball to their committee. And, you know, Star opting out has not been a problem yet. But we knew when he opted out, okay, that's a big part of their run defense, literally and figuratively. So that, the linebacker issues, we'll see if that's a problem come Sunday because the Rams do like to run the ball. They definitely have some weapons there. No question. Matching up with Higby is an issue. This begins a stretch. Actually, now, in hindsight, we can say the Miami game began a stretch where the Bills were dealing with some really good tight ends. And Gesicki had 130 yards. He had a big day. It didn't beat the Bills, but it was an issue. Now you got Higby, and then you got Darren Waller, who might be the best of the bunch in this next stretch of games. So how they defend Higby, that's certainly going to be a question there. And the slot matchup, too. When Cooper Kupp is in the slot, Taron Johnson's been banged up this week. He's been on the injury report. That could be an issue in terms of matching up to try and stop their defense. Special teams, I think the key story in terms of special teams would be the kickers. If it is going to be as windy as they say, you're dealing with a couple of rookie kickers. We'll see how they handle those conditions. When Sean's on, one of the questions is, I was thinking, okay, what are we going to bring up with Coach McDermott? I did want to ask him. The Bills were able to practice in the stadium at times during camp. There were no preseason games, but they got in there to practice. And I'm curious, was there like a gusty day, or even if they were out on the practice fields or in the field house, whatever, was there a day in August or so far in September where the winds were kicking up and they thought, you know what, let's get Bass in there. Let's see how he handles the crazy windy conditions inside the stadium because he's going to have to deal with it at some point. Well, Sunday might be that some point. And they have a rookie kicker too, Samuel Sloman. And Tyler Bass, we know he had a tough opening day. He bounced back nicely at Miami. He hit the one field goal he had from 39, 4-4 in extra points. But kicking, as you know, Bills fans, kicking and punting, but for this point I'm talking about the kickers, in the stadium can be a real adventure. because it's hard to get a handle on the wins. And how many times have we heard from kickers that have come in here over the years have talked about getting used to what it's like to kick in that stadium? So I think that's, is it front and center? No. But in terms of storylines in the game, after you get through offense, after you get through defense and you get to special teams, keep an eye on that, because this is going to be, I think, a challenging day for the kickers dealing with the windy conditions. And again, if you're Sean McDermott and you're Sean McVay, you know, we know Bass has a strong leg. And one of the reasons why they drafted him, one of the reasons why they kept over Steven Hauschka, was to know that was because they needed a guy they could rely on 50 plus. I'm not sure how long you're going to be able to go with field goals. It'll be interesting to, you know, if you were out there watching warm-up Sunday, you'd be looking at both kickers. And to see as they go through their practices and they move the ball back and they go with their longer kicks, 40, 45, 50 plus, what's the success rate? What's happening? And how does that impact what the coaches are doing, their play calling, whether they're going for it on fourth down? What's like the target number? You know, do you try a kick from the 35? Do you think because of the conditions on Sunday, that might be a little bit trickier than normal, tougher than normal? Hey, we're going to get down to the 30. So I think you should keep an eye out on that too. That's definitely one of the storylines on Sunday. Hey, the Rams, by the way, for what it's worth, I'll throw a few stats on the way out here. The Rams, since Sean McVay took over in 2017, they are very good against the AFC. They are 10-2 against the AFC. One of the things we always talk about, when West Coast teams come east, they're not, I don't think they're traveling today. Sometimes West versus East, East versus West, they try and sometimes go out on a Friday, get your body clocks adjusted and all that. They're going to be playing Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Again, just since McVay took over. The Rams are 7-1 in the Eastern time zone. So jet lag and early start times and body clock, apparently not a problem for Los Angeles. Not only are they 7-1, they've averaged 33 points a game in those 8 games in the Eastern time zone. Plus, they typically get off to good starts. 12-2 is the Rams' record in September since McVay got there, and that includes the 2 wins this year beating Dallas and the Philadelphia Eagles. So there you go. Some of the storylines to keep an eye on for Sunday's matchup between the Bills and the Rams. 803-0550 for you to join us. 888-550-2550. We'll talk about the Bills and Rams with you. And send us your video. Did you do that this week? Make sure you send us your video. Let us know why you're the biggest Bills fan around. We could get you a prize. It's our M&T Bills fan contest, thanks to M&T Bank. It's very simple. Tell us why you're the biggest Bills fan. Put it on a video and tweet it to us. That's all you got to do. Tweet at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills fans. We're doing this now? Okay. We'll pick one winner each week, and that person will get a $50 gift card to the Bills team store. And you're in the running for the grand prize as well. We have more details at WGR550.com. Again, tweet at WGR550 and use the hashtag community of Bills fans. So are we breaking or we're doing this now? We're breaking. Okay. No, we're doing this now. Okay. We're awaiting Sean McDermott, and I believe we're going to the Western Hotline to talk to the Bills head coach.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. By Kaleida Health, wear a mask, save a life. By GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills.
All right, let's go to the West Her Hotline. Sean McDermott is standing by. Sean, it's Howard. Jeremy's off today. How you doing?
We're doing well. How about you guys?
I'm good. You know, Sean, hey, this is not rocket science. You win, I'm good. And it's a very simple equation, so keep winning and I'll be good. It's very simple. Yeah.
I got it. We'll do our best, buddy.
And Nate Geary's here in for Jeremy, so he's going to be hopping in as well. Injury update. Let's start there first, Sean. Last week, when you were on with us, you actually ruled out Edmonds and Milano. But is there anybody being ruled out on your injury front at this point today?
Yeah, so we'll have 3 guys this week. Delshawn Phillips and Dawson Knox, as well as Zach Moss.
Okay. So, I know this is game plan territory, but I'm going to guess you're going to need a little help from TJ Yeldon now with Moss being out on Sunday. Would that be next man up, so to speak?
Correct, yep.
What do you lose with Knox being out? Excuse me. Very productive guy in your passing game. So with Dawson not available on Sunday, what kind of loss is that for your overall offensive scheme?
Well, he's a good player for us. You know, a young player that's that's developing. And so, you know, it's a loss, but at the same time, we've got a lot of confidence in Tyler Croft, Lee Smith, and many others on the team there.
You know, you didn't mention Evans and Milano, so that's a good sign. What have you seen from them in terms of how much they've been able to work this week and how much they might be able to play, assuming they're playing on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, they've been in a limited fashion pretty much all week. Today, you know, much of the same. And so we'll see how they can do through practice today. We're crossing our fingers at this point.
Your offense, let's start there, Sean, because obviously Josh and the offense have looked very good in the first two games. What are some of the things with Josh specifically, what are some of the things you have seen so far from him that you really like?
Well, you know, I think he's doing a good job of going through his progression, not trying to do too much. And his overall approach to me has been very mature, very businesslike, and yet loose at the same time, you know, within the team. And when he's interacted with his teammates, so he's got a good way about.
Can you the relationship between Josh and Brian Daboll? If you could just talk about that a little bit. I thought what was very telling last week that after you took the lead in Miami in the fourth quarter and you get the ball back, and you guys are going deep again, like you are going for the throat, you're going for the put away touchdown, so to speak. That trust factor between Brian Daboll and Josh Allen. Can you just talk a little about where it is right now? Because it feels like there is an aggressiveness to the offense in part because of the weapons and in part because of the development of the quarterback.
Yeah, and I'd say you're spot on. I mean, overall, when you've got a good group of weapons and you've got a quarterback that's developing like Josh is, and the execution level has been high, and we're all on the same page. I mean, there's just a philosophy of being aggressive, and that's also sends a message, I believe, to our football team. And then when you execute at that level that we did last week, it bodes well moving forward.
Coach, Brian Daboll last week was mentioning how, you know, kind of great it is coaching a group of guys at the wide receiver position that are so unselfish. And with you being around the game for as long as you have and being around some pretty darn talented groups at wide receiver in Philadelphia and Carolina, what does this group, what do they do that's different? Like, why the unselfishness, like, how unique is that? I don't want to say that wide receivers are historically selfish guys, but they're also not really known as the most unselfish guys on the team. But this team kind of trumps that a little.
Well, they do, and you know, each one of them is his own person. They bring different things to the table on the field and off the field, and I think that's the cool part about this is, you know, Diggs brings a huge amount of energy to our team. Cole is just the kind of sneaky athlete guy that unbelievably talented, and people don't give him probably enough credit. Just a great football player, man, with instincts. And Smoke is, since the day tried to get him a few years ago, I had a ton of respect for Smoke and the way he goes about his business. Tremendously unselfish. And then you say Gabe, and you know, obviously we're just getting to know Gabe this year, and been a great addition to our football team. And then let's not forget about Andre there, who's one of the leaders on our football team, and obviously wears a big hat on special teams, but also does some really good things that people don't see on offense too.
You know, Coach, one of the things this week is going to be the matchup with Aaron Donald, and I know I saw a quote from you talking about, well, he's so great. Well, it's no coincidence he used to be a wrestler, right? How much do you think, especially at the defensive line, being such a unique position with having to play with your hands, how much does a wrestling background maybe benefit, especially on the interior defensive line, for people that may not have been around wrestling or understand, you know, why there's kind of a funny, you know, connection there? What do you think makes a wrestler, especially on the defensive line, maybe have a bit of an advantage?
Well, it's about levels, right? And wrestlers typically are guys that bend their knees and play at kind of that first level, which is low. They play low, and then their quickness and leverage, their feel for leverage and hips as well as hands. It's a sport, wrestling is, where you're hand fighting almost constantly for 6 minutes. So a lot of that comes natural to the players, that the football players that have wrestling in their background.
Since Nate asked you about Aaron Donald, I, I would just say I think you should be happy you're not the offensive coordinator this week. I feel like he's one of those players, Sean, like we used to talk about it when Bruce Smith was here in his heyday. Like, I feel that that's one of those players the offensive coordinator might lose sleep during the week trying to figure out how to make sure he doesn't wreck the game plan.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're spot on again. That's Howard. That's when you've got a player of that caliber, it starts with, just like it does every week, man, it starts with a healthy amount of respect for the opponent, and then in particular this player. And I mean, he's wrecked a lot of game plans to this point in his career, I can tell you that.
When you look at their group as a whole, he certainly stands out, maybe Jalen Ramsey too. But as you guys try and prepare for that defense, what else about L.A. stands out on that side of the ball?
Well, they're talented. You know, they play well together. They've taken the ball away in their two games this year, which has been one of the deciding factors in the game, which it normally is. And they're a solid group that has a first-year coordinator, and they're off to a really good start.
Last thing on my end, Coach, I'm glad you mentioned turnovers, because I think that is one of the areas that we've seen the offense of the Bills really kind of take a step forward this year, and that includes Josh Allen, who, although has put the ball on the ground fumbling, hasn't thrown an interception this year offensively. Do you view that as maybe one of the biggest keys every single week? It's the one consistent thing you're kind of writing on the grease board. Like, no turnovers really will lead to a lot of wins for your football team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you've been in my team meetings.
He has. We're not telling anybody.
No, it's real. I mean, that's a stat that never changes. I mean, you protect the ball protects you, and you don't protect the ball, you're going to have a hard time winning. So, you know, we refer to the football gods. If you protect the ball, the football gods will take care of you, and if you don't, then the football gods aren't going to take care of you. So that's a big stat, and it's a big factor in winning games.
Now, I thought that was only a fan thing and a media thing. I'm so glad to hear a coach refer to the football gods. I do believe in them, actually. So, hey, final thing for me, Sean, and we were just talking about it might be a little windy on Sunday, and it made me think about Tyler Bass. Both teams actually have rookie kickers, and it can be really crazy dealing with the wind at the stadium, as you know, whether you're a punter or a kicker. Would you have had a gusty day, or was there a chance at all where you would have been able to get Bass in the stadium when it's kind of windy and let him see what it's like to try and kick through those conditions?
Yeah, we did. That was on our list of to-do items when we started camp, was if we got some bad weather, whether it be rain or wind, to make sure we got over there. And we did that numerous times with just our specialists going over there with our kicking group, and then another time or two we went in and scrimmaged over there. I remember in particular the wind on the full scrimmage we had. I think we scrimmaged for about 2.5 to 3 quarters. It was a rather windy day that day, so that worked well for us.
So does that affect how you coach a game on Sunday, like thinking about the wind, target lines, where you've got to be on the field to try kicks?
Yeah, that's one of the things we talk about, you know, weather games, quote-unquote, and in this case could be some wind. And so, I mean, but it's always windy here, typically. I mean, it's unusual when those flags are sitting still at the top of our stadium. So usually we get that wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, and we have a pretty good feel for how it typically blows in there. Even the Jets game, really, it was blowing over the stadium as opposed to over the side of the stadium, which was a little bit unique. But, you know, it took some time to learn it and get used to it, but I think you know, I've learned it, and our special teams coaches have done a phenomenal job. Heath Farwell and Matt Smiley, and then now Tyler and Bojo and Reed are all getting up to speed on it as well.
Well, as always, Sean, thanks for giving us some time on the show. Good luck on Sunday against the Rams.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you. Bills coach Sean McDermott on our Westar Hotline, his segment on Football Friday, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. By Kaleida Health, wear a mask, save a life. By GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. By Ross Salino, supporting the Thurman Thomas Foundation. And by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That was so long ago, in my opinion, and that's really a non-factor. You know, he's been a great player in this league for a long time, and he's only gotten better, and he's a problem that we're going to have to deal with. And we're focusing on one job, and that's to try to put our best foot forward and try to get a win on Sunday here in Buffalo, and that's really all we're looking forward to.
As Josh Allen talked about Jalen Ramsey from when he was Jacksonville and made the comments about Josh. Hey, quick segment here. We got to kind of crunch for time. So no Knox, no Moss. What's the impact Sunday?
It's going to be a little bit. And I think, too, it's Knox. Knox is a blocker coming out of the backfield, lining up in that H/fullback position. Really like that for him and what it does to defenses and gets him in really good matchups against linebackers. I think that'll hurt. And you have to add in Lee Smith is going to be probably getting some burn, which, you know, yeah, is the reason why he's been inactive for the first 2 weeks. And then as for Zach Moss, it means that TJ Yeldon's going to get some time. And I'm actually really interested to see TJ Yeldon get some touches. I think we've all sort of been waiting for it.
More, yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a good pickup. And I think there were times last season as Gore's productivity went down,
you were sort of like,
you were like, hey, where's Yeldon?
Yeah,
why don't
he could
they
be
use
playing.
Him? I mean, just, you know, I know he's not a big special teams guy and that's where your other running back is, but he's intriguing enough that you'd say, and now he will get a mix on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to go Devin Singletary gets, you know, he's 30
not,
carries.
Yeah, I mean, Devin Singletary probably upwards of 15-plus, I would guess, today or this weekend. But, no, Zach Moss is it's a tough blow for them.
Get a quick break in. Football Friday continues. WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Well. Let's get you caught up on some schedule stuff first. We could have the end of the hockey season this weekend,
kids.
We have 2 games. We have game 4 tonight, Tampa Bay and Dallas, 8 o'clock, and then game 5 tomorrow night. So back-to-back nights in the bubble, and if Tampa wins them both, the hockey season is finished. Go Lightning. I mean, who roots for a Dallas team to win anything here in
Not
West
me.
New York? I mean, come on.
Not a me.
You have an NBA playoff game tonight. See the earlier comment, except put in Boston in place of Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Nobody roots for a Boston. Well, there's Red Sox fans in Western New York. I forgot. Yeah. But anyway, Miami, Boston, and the Heat can close that series out. That's at 8:30. And you know what else is going on? So Sunday, we said, you got the Bills-Rams game at 1.
Yep.
You got Dallas-Seattle at 4:30. You got Green Bay-New Orleans at 8:30. Yeah, that's right. Saturday, SEC's back. All of a sudden, the college football schedule looks better.
Yeah.
Because the SEC is back, and you've got top 25 teams playing against each other.
Listen, you say that. I say I enjoy South Alabama versus the Citadel.
Well, but you're one of those freaky draft guys that you'll watch just about. There could be a Division
That's
two
right.
game on.
I'll watch it.
And, you know, if Pittsburgh
I love football.
State
I'll watch
is
it.
Playing, you're going to watch. You know, there's a safety
They developed
Pittsburgh
Brian
State.
Mormon.
I don't know why Pittsburgh State came
They developed that. Brian Mormon. They've got talent. Pittsburgh State was also... Wait, there's somebody else. Wide receiver.
Pittsburgh State?
I'll let you know before the end of the
show. We've got a few minutes left. Yeah. So you've got college football going on all day tomorrow and with the SEC back. Hey, any quick thoughts about the Pac-12, Mountain West, and I think in all likelihood the MAC
John Brown!
Back. Oh, that's Pittsburgh
My
State!
My God!
Wow.
I just like, there's a wide receiver in the NFL. He's around somewhere. He plays the game. He catches footballs.
Because he plays here. Pittsburgh
Cripes.
State. Very good.
Any upset thought, about myself there.
Any thoughts on everybody coming back to play college football? I think my guess is, the way things are trending, you know, the MAC is, I think, going to come back and play. They had some serious issues
so
with medical, but in terms of what we're hearing about the testing, the rapid testing, the precautions The MAC will probably announce something similar to the Big Ten, I would assume.
That would be my guess.
Where they're doing
seven
more
games,
cardio
exams.
But I mean the cardio exams. Like, they were concerned about myocarditis. Mm. Now you're going to see cardiac testing, I believe. And if a player's out, like, no cardio work for, like, 21 days, the Big Ten is doing. I would think the MAC is going to follow and become the final FBS league to return and have a fall season.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I know it's only seven games or six games, whatever it ends up being. It's not going to be... I feel bad for some of these seniors, but at the same time, at least they're going to get to play some games. But yeah, it stinks seeing half their schedule be robbed from them.
I wonder if they actually had this discussion, like, you're a senior and they came into you and said, all right, we could play 10 in the winter and you might be the only FBS league playing, or you could be back with everybody else and play six in the fall and go to a ball game. If you play in the spring, winter, spring, you're not going to a ball game. You have a shorter schedule here, but you go to a bowl game probably.
I'd say probably the first one. I would rather just play the shortened schedule. But at the same time, you're 6-0. You're the we know the Big Ten's playing seven games. So if you're Ohio State and you're 7-0, and you have two teams at 11-0, another team at 10-1, and another team at, you know,
what if I think the ACC's playing 11 games, right?
Yep.
So what if not Clemson? Let's say, well, all right, we'll say whatever. We'll make it Clemson.
Yeah.
An ACC team is 10-1, and Ohio State runs the Big Ten.
And they're 7-0.
Rolls it. What do you do?
Notre Dame. What if Notre Dame is 10-1?
Are they going to get 11 games in? They have a makeup date for the Wake Forest game, I believe, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. That's the other thing about starting in November is you have seven games in 7 weeks.
Pac-12,
if you have a postponement.
Right. There's no wiggle room. And I don't.
None.
I think the Big Ten, I thought they had a week wiggle room, but I think they might have given that one away, right?
2 weeks?
October 24th, I believe, is the weekend. So, yeah, it's going to be, I think you're going to have, the CFP is going to be dealing with an uneven amount of games.
No doubt about it.
And it sounds like they're also going to get rid of the requirement for bowl wins this year, which is fine. I mean, it's, you know, how many teams are going to be eligible for a bowl, who knows? But I think they're getting rid of the, you got to be 500 to get a bowl game bid. I think they just want to make sure they get bowl games in. Just one thing to watch for the MAC. They don't get the guaranteed money games back. They lost
those. They lost that. That's gone.
But I think they'll be back on ESPN. They'll get some television money. They'll play Maction when they throw on Wednesday and Thursday games. So I think they'll get that back. But I wonder about the cost. If they do all this daily testing and everything, they're not the Big Ten.
And
UB doesn't have an endless budget like some other
programs. They don't. And a lot of those teams spent the money that was supposed to be coming in already.
The like guarantee they were going to get.
They budgeted that.
UB was going to get over $2 million by playing at Ohio State and at Kansas State. That's gone.
That's gone, but you budget for that going into the season.
For
you
sure.
assume it's coming in.
For sure.
So, it's not a great spot to be if you're UB or one of these teams.
Okay, last reminder. It's beautiful weather this weekend.
It is.
So
take
get
advantage.
Out. Get outside.
Last weekend of September. I cannot believe I'm saying that out loud.
80s. It's going to be 80s this weekend.
I'm just not ready for October.
Throw the shorts on and get outside
not
and enjoy
ready.
Yourself. You're going to play golf, have a good time. So here's the plan for Sunday. Get all your outdoor activity in. Well, you can always take your phone with you, I guess, in golf Sunday morning and listen to the app. Breakfast with the Bills at 7. Game day. Nate is going to be in for Jeremy at 8. And he's got countdown to kickoff at 10. It is the Bills and Rams, a 1 o'clock game from Bills Stadium. And then Shope and the Bulldog on the postgame show. And Nate's back with the overtime show. So that's the plan for Sunday. Watch the game. Hopefully the Bills will win. You'll enjoy the game. And then we'll all be back here Monday morning. Jeremy will be back, and we'll all talk about it on Bills Football Monday. Thanks for coming in, man.
My pleasure. I always enjoy Fridays.
Appreciate it. All right, so Instigators is coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll talk to you Monday morning on Bills Football Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.